Okay, let's pray. I'm sort of not used to this. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. You're the one that communicates. You're the one that quickens. We just thank you right now for, Lord, this is the day that you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Right now, thank you that words create worlds. And right now, we just frame up the presence and the glory of God. I thank you thousands of years ago, the seraphim proclaimed, holy, 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 is the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. And we thank you that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. So we thank you for your glory. We thank you for a breaker. We thank you for wisdom in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Okay, so we just had a little bit of a break. Did anyone go away for their break? Like just down to the shops? No. We went across to Port Lincoln, and because of global warming, it was very cold, wet, and windy. And I do feel for people. I mean, at the moment, with what's going on, the service industry is being filleted. There's so many. So I would suggest next time you're at a restaurant, don't order a well-done steak, okay? If you want to get out there before midnight. there is so many hectic things. So many things are stretched at the moment. But what I want to do is I want to just share just something that took place in the spirit that I think it's a bit of a... If you can identify something, you can overcome it quite easily. So if you can articulate something, you can bring it into focus. You can bring it into focus. You can bring in a manifestation. So there's times where you pray a lot and you're meditating in the Word and the Word of the Lord comes to you. And then there is hearing from God or hearing God's voice for dummies. Okay, so I had a hearing, hearing God's voice for dummies is that we went somewhere and the service was, you know, can I have a cup of hot water, please? How would you like that medium well done? It was hectic and then just everything just got messed up. And so I decided to take my daughter after we went to the restaurant. We went to a second place and we went and got a chocolate sundae. Now, this is very, very important point. No. And so we're sitting down there and I went up to order, AKA soup Nazi style, basically. And then it was my turn. And then basically, I remember I could hear there was had music playing. Now, if you like older music, nothing contemporary, go to a regional centre or the country, they'll play plenty of that for you. But I heard this melody, I'm going, gosh, that's familiar. And it was something, who ever used to or listened to or remember a band called ELO? Yeah, exactly. And so I'm hearing this and I'm like, yep. And I'm seeing, you know, the Jeff Lynne and the White Fro up there and doing all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, oh, cool. Anyway, that was about the extent of it. Then I went back. And then what happened was I recognised the chorus. No, sorry, the beginning. And then it wasn't a really a well-known song. So we went back and Nicola had some churros. I had some... a chocolate sundae, I was sitting there eating, and then I remember the next day I was just waiting on the Lord, and then it's like the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, I want to speak to you about the spirit of confusion. And then as that came to me, the ELO melody comes back to me, and I get on Google, and I'm going, is there an ELO song called Confusion? The song was called Confusion. And I'm like, okay. And it sort of was one of those that just jumped out, it was quickened to me. And then what happened is the Lord started to speak to me about the spirit of confusion over our government, over the nation. And then what happened was, I was telling Daryl this, I said, look, this is like hearing from God for dummies. I just like, you know, God spoke through a song and it was, you know, got the word of the Lord and this happened. And then we were in line, soup Nazi style, into a bakery. And what happened was, is that then he went in and I put my order in first and then, and And then he put his order in first, and then I did afterwards. But in this occasion, the first will be last. And so I'm out there, and I've got my stuff, and I'm all right, Jack, you know, out in the footpath, sort of like this. Because they were closing stuff all through Port Lincoln. There were bookings that we of real first world issues. So we went to go out and eat, and they said, no, we've got to close because of, you know, what's taking place. And I said, this is really weird because there's a spirit of confusion, and this is what the Lord spoke to me about it. And he's like, yep. And he goes in, and then he gets his coffee and his food, and the woman just about 20 seconds after I said that, she goes, look, I just got to apologize for all the confusion. And so the Lord started speaking to me about confusion. And so this is not the word of the Lord for the year. This is something that we need to discern so we make sure we're not caught up in confusion. Can someone say amen? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and I've caught up with some very, very significant people, obviously, in the health area and politics, etc. But at the moment, Australia is run by a circular bureaucracy where everyone's passing the buck. And it's always something, is it by design? I think so. But at the moment, this is an interesting, now I'm going to declare my confirmation bias at the beginning of this anecdote. So you know that I have skin in the game. So there's this sportsman called Novak. Novak Djokovic. Now, what's happened is that obviously when you watch the news, really, the news is you can't take things just like they just said it, so this is the way it is. You've really got to map the news. You've got to map it. That's exhausting. But the Lord will teach you a lot of things. So you start mapping the news. And then this morning I heard a guy called Nigel Farage speak at some stuff. I spoke to some people who have a lot more information. So basically what's taken place... Well, firstly, okay, I've got my confirmation bias. So what you got is if you want to... The big sports in the world, probably for football, we call it soccer, you know, you get paid tens of millions of dollars to be able to go, goal, okay? And if you get a knock on the leg, you have to. There's a special technique of rolling around, holding your knee. Then there's golf. A lot of people can play golf, but not many can play well. But then there's tennis, and tennis is like golf, but for people who like running. moving. So I mean, if you got a guy called John Daly, he goes. I've never ever pulled a muscle. How can you pull fat? Anyway, so. For those that he'll, you know, smoke on the golf course and chug down beers as he's playing, you know, just crazy. Anyway. So tennis is a significant sport. What you have is you've got three players who've won 20 Grand Slams. You've got Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, and they're everyone's little favourite and darling. And they are amazing. We've never seen an era like this. Back in the day, I started with Guillermo Vilas, Bjorn Borg. John McEnroe, Jimmy Connors, back then. But we've never seen a generation like this. It's almost like some sort of a sign and a wonder. You've got three people on 20. And statistically, Novak Djokovic is better than the other two. He's got a better head-to-head winning record. He's got a better percentage and so on and so forth. And he's about to break the world record because he's won the Australian Open 9 times. Did you know that when we had the bushfires... He sowed tens of thousands, he gave tens of thousands of dollars into Australia to the Bushfire Fund and asked other people to do the same. So, and I mean, again, I'm just so you know, these are first world issues. There are people starving, but I'm just trying to frame some things up because what it would seem like is that more things will come to light. We've got to be careful not to jump the gun because more things will come to light. But what we know so far is that when he arrived in Australia as the world number one defending 9 times Australian Open champion, is that he was arrested at the border, Melbourne International Airport, Tullamarine. He was interrogated for 5 to 6 hours, right? He's some sort of felon. His phone and his wallet were confiscated. He was put into a substandard Medi hotel where a lot of refugees are. But here's the point I want to get down to. Again, I've got skin in the game as a confirmation bias here, but just so you know, there are some pretty objective data points. But Tennis Australia, who organise the Australian Open, actually work with the tennis players to get their do their visa applications. So he wasn't trying to run the gauntlet. And so in conjunction with the Victorian government, they put a condition, if you, a medical exemption, you qualify, is if you had had COVID in the last 6 months, you had overcome it and it'd be proven by a PCR test. He met all those requirements. And then what happened is that then the federal government basically, they just stepped in. Now, the federal government actually have jurisdiction over stopping people coming into the country. But what you've got right now is that everyone's pointing the finger at everybody, and we've got absolute confusion in our nation. We've got confusion in our government. Now, before I get to a high horse-ish, we need to know, if you can take responsibility, God gives you authority. And when we go, oh, that's no good, everything comes back to the salt and the light, the salt and the light. The church cannot minister certainties, reality from another dimension if we're confused. It will not happen. We have to renounce all confusion, because confusion is double-mindedness. And so this is actually a principality. You could say, in a way, it's a whirlwind. And so this is over, because at the moment you're seeing headlines all around the world are going, wow, we're back to a convict island here. And it's like, what is that going to do for tourism? Can you imagine you're planning and booking your trip and all of a sudden you just go, pause. You've already got a filleted service industry. And so at the moment, see, the person sitting in your seat with Jesus carries the answer for our times. Can someone say amen? If it's always over there, then we don't actually say, you know what, I can actually come before the throne of grace and start to speak order. God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. And so we've on the other side, this, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying this is the word of the Lord for the year, but the Lord spoke through this. If there's confusion in your life, we need to make sure, we need to straight paths, strengthen our faith. If God's given you a word, and all of a sudden you're going, oh, I'm not sure now, confusion. That's double-minded. You know what that means? You'll receive nothing. If you've received the word of the Lord, you will get tested. Every word of God is tested like seven times in a furnace. It's purified and refined. So even though this, I've stated my claim, I'm a fan of Novak Djokovic. And people start calling him that, by the way, just by accident. But if you've received the word of the Lord and got certain direction, stand on it, because you will get tested. Jesus is our prototype. He was tested. Man shall not live by circumstances and natural provision alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Can someone say amen? It's a certainty. This is why it says, when you fall in various trials, rejoice. Because you connect with the original word of the Lord and the supply of grace. For every word of the Lord is a supply of grace. So we're just going to start with how, because this antidote to confusion is hidden in this passage of Scripture. And it's in James chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And it says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. If confusion becomes a habitation of other things. When you're confused, if a trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? This is a year where we have to be decisive. We can't go like this. God's spoken, yep, and they go, oh, it's a bit hard now. Because the enemy is shaking everything. Well, sorry, God is shaking everything. There's a lot going on. Went down the road a bit too far then. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Holy hands, a clean heart, pure heart, clean hands, sorry. Going up God's holy hill, all right? And it says first pure, then peaceable, then gentle. This is the important thing, willing to yield. Not to the narrative. Yield to the Lord. Yield to the Lord. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And what we found is that If someone talks long enough, now some of you guys are going like this, I don't get words of knowledge. You don't always need them. They're good. Things get expedited, but you don't. If someone talks long enough, you'll hear their heart come out. Prime ministers, premiers, health ministers, CHOs. We obviously have in New South Wales, Brad, hashtag health hazard, right? Kerry can't chant, okay? Twice they said, this is the new world order, get used to it. That's a leap. That's a leap. But one of the things is Jeanette Young, who's now governor, she said the important thing at the moment is the messaging. Is that we have to communicate a narrative so people can actually come into agreement with it. It's in the messaging. But what we've actually found is that when the agenda and the narrative are incongruent, there's confusion. And there's so much confusion. We've got Hugh and Jane, they've got a story to tell. They can't tell all of it. They can tell a lot of it though. They went back to Melbourne and came back. And then if you went to cross the border one day, you 2 weeks in quarantine, but if you went the next day, you could just come through. This again and again and again and again. And it's actually got demonic design to keep people off balance. When people are off balance and double-minded, anything can get pushed through. We have a year of a double election. Now's the time to rise up in Jesus' name and move things in the Spirit. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Church, now is our window. Because once elections finish and governments don't have to pander to the people that voted them in, decisions are made. We get to, in the Spirit, work with the Holy Ghost and say, Lord, show us what you want to do. Can someone say amen? What an opportunity. At the moment, there's so much, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and we're going to, and you know, shaking hands, kissing babies ad nauseam. It's not real. It's actually the cynical part of democracy. And so now we have a window. So there's been nothing but a confusing narrative that completely changes. Now, so we got people that we know of. They're not close contacts, but we know them. They've got a cold at the moment. They're at home with a cold, runny nose. It's called Omicron, okay? It's real. But this messaging and this fear-mongering has turned us into a nation of hypochondriacs. It's unbelievable. Do you know what? Let people be afraid, but the church should never be afraid. Never be afraid in the name of Jesus. Never. Never. So at the moment, confusion is being engineered and it's also playing out. I'm not saying that, you know, blow a trumpet in Zion because Novak is in quarantine. But we've actually, is that the Lord, this is what God wants to do this year. Oh, here we go. Sorry. The Greek word for confusion is a word so hard to pronounce, it's actually confusing. Akatastasia. I'm confused. All right. It actually means disorder, commotion, a tumult. When's the last time you were in a tumult? Okay, it's been a while. You hear the word tumultuous. People go, it was tumultuous. What do you mean? I don't know. Anyway, but it actually means instability. Instability is what happens to things that are shaken. Confusion actually brings shaking on the inside. If the kingdom of God is within you, if you get shaken here, it's shaken out there, buddy. But if you are built on the rock in here, then everything starts to conform to what's on the inside. It's an inside-out reality. Do not say the kingdom of heaven does not come with observation. Here it is, there it is. For behold, the kingdom of heaven is within you, in your midst. So, yes, okay, all right. Cut that out, get rid of that, go over that, bypass that. Inside thoughts, all right. Oh, yeah. The narrative. So, okay. You don't, look, math is necessary, but it doesn't have to be your favorite. But when you have people in government going out getting maybe hundreds of millions of vaccines, they're not medical treatments, for a population of 25 million, then all of a sudden, you know, as sure as the sun is coming, oh, we need another one, and another one. Oh, such a surprise. I mean, come on. It's already pre-planned. Hey, if you're going to pray for Israel, pray for them now. Fourth jab. Seriously. And so what you have is at the moment you're seeing a narrative and an agenda that's incongruent. And so this is very, very important. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. And I'm going to sort of semi-extrapolate this, but Jesus said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. Now, what we've got to be careful of is this. Psychology is a natural phenomena that can go into a supernatural phenomena. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I actually quoted King James. I've never done that before. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? That's how solemn this moment is. All right. And be ye transformed ye. So we're so casual with what we watch and listen to. We're so casual. But really, that's your spiritual diet. And so at the moment, with the messaging, if you are just passively just sitting there with your gates open, what's being told will actually start to get in your subconscious. And as a man or woman thinks in their heart, so they are. Let me say again, there are people getting sick. Okay, there is a virus. I find it interesting now, qualification and hashtag anecdote, meant to have come from South Africa. And it's mutated, it's easier to catch, but nowhere near as strong. It's been said ad nauseum. The people in South Africa said this is like barely a nothing. We've got people telling us in South Africa they're shutting down clinics, sending back vaccines because this thing's run its course. But the narrative is maintained over here. And what happens is this, is that when you just passively like, and you can't just listen to something. Eventually, you come into agreement with it. This is the year where we have to step on the head of the whirlwind called confusion, and we have to be decisive. We need single vision. We need dove's eyes. We need to see the bronze serpent lifted up in the wilderness per se. We need to set our heart on things above, our focus, our affection on things above. Because there is mass psychology taking place and it's manifesting confusion. The person sitting in your seat with Jesus has the answer. Can someone say amen? Don't defer it somewhere else. It starts in your micro decisions, in your focus, your worship, your prayer, your decree. It is not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And wisdom helps us to do corresponding action that lands it in the time space world. Amen. So here we go. I'm just going to read this out, get the picture ready. Is I feel this year for us. Now, this is the vision for the year sort of a guy. Because I don't want to limit God. But I do know at the end of last year, with especially with intercession. Let me just a quick spiritual commercial. Do you know what? You want authority? Pray for the thing that needs changing. You actually start partnering with the Holy Spirit. You pray long enough, the Lord goes, now get involved. What? I just wanted to pray about it. The Lord goes, well, now you've actually invested so much, you're taking responsibility, here's some authority. Seriously, you can't just get outraged and not pray about it. Please, I'm not stoking the fires of outrage. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. But last year was saying, God, there are so many things moving. And over this break, I tell you, I have been just in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, just effortlessly, there's grace. There really is grace, and I love it. It's the most Hebraic book in the New Testament. Okay, it's amazing. And I said, Lord, I need a spirit of counsel so you can manifest a spirit of might. Counsel leads to might. We pray for revival, but we're going to wisdom. We're going to counsel. You got people, they go, I want the power of God, and they destroy themselves and others. We need God's counsel. This is why, with all you're getting, get understanding, wisdom is the principal thing. Can someone say amen to that? Because revival is not meant to exalt a ministry, it's meant to glorify Jesus. It's meant to see a city saved. Righteousness exalts a nation, but a wicked leadership makes the people groan, okay? So this is, I'm just gonna read, I believe that this is what, I'm gonna speak this in the atmosphere. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, and it's this, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. You know what, is that, look, there are some zero to hero stories like Hebrides. A bunch of people prayed, things happened. Lights came down out of heaven, down through the chimney. I'm amused, they didn't come through, used the chimney. We're talking crockery, shaking. People would be, I think it was a fishing village. And when they have church, when all the lights would go, and then gather over the church, time to have worship. All right, pretty good, hey? But generally speaking, God says, build your faith. Build your faith. Faith is finding the light switch. Wisdom and faith finds the light switch, and then the electricity and the light is the power of God. We've seen that I'm going to get all Gregorian on you. But we saw amazing miracles in this last season. Amazing miracles. People should be dead within weeks, healed. So many healings. So many deliverances. Now, one of the things is there's a few technicalities, is that at the moment, this is like Field of Sardines, okay? The other place is that you could do a full Julie Andrews and not hit anyone. You could even have a 12-foot flag, you'd be fine. We don't have the altar space we had. And so our public ministry isn't what it was for a number of logistical reasons. Let me just say this, behind the scenes, people are getting set free. There are miracles taking place. There are ones where people are getting ministered to face-to-face and ones that are online. You know, this is crazy about the power of God and the connection of faith. If someone can listen to, they can listen to a preach or hear a word, it be recorded, they hear it a week later and the same quickening takes place. That blows my mind. It's like almost like putting on worship, you know? I mean, how much can I squeeze the William Augusto lemon? Yet here we are. Can't you feel it? Anyway, so we're seeing great things, but I think it's really key in this season leading up to the elections, when everyone wants to be your friend, so you elect them. I think we have a season to really go after the supernatural, the power of God. And there's a method. Now, if we could put that picture up, please, that I sent you. That's as clear as it comes. One of the things about confusion is this. There are, what I've learned hanging out with the Holy Spirit, it is a multiverse. As there's one glory of the stars, one glory of the moon, one glory of the sun, so will it be at the resurrection. Those who are wise shall shine, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever, ever and ever. The multiverse, heaven, the kingdom of heaven is so nuanced, it's so complex. And yet we call to feed on the simplicity of Christ and the simplicity of the gospel. And there's a point where people are waiting for things. They're seeing darkness take place. They're waiting for things to unfold. And the Lord's saying, no, come up here now. And I must show the things that will swiftly take place. And so we have, now keep the picture up for a sec if you can. So what we got, I mean, this is the best as we got, it's simply because of globes and all that sort of stuff. But what you have, someone's in darkness, but the kingdom of heaven is accessed by faith in the now. Can someone say amen? Because this is the, choose the ancient paths. Choose the ancient paths. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove the will of God. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. For all of creation is waiting for the mature. We are sons of God. All of creation is groaning. That's God calling us into the faith dimension. That's where the miracles are. That's where everything you own, heavenly Zion, heavenly Jerusalem, exists in that place. But the confusion is when you've got earthbound believers thinking they're going to get raptured at any moment. We are called, and I want to say this right now, yes, as it was in the days of Noah, yes, but at no stage do we ever lay down and stop doing the Great Commission. At no stage. It's the place we do it from. Can someone say amen? So that picture, when you worship, you go in there. When you take communion, you go in there. It's cultivated through micro decisions. And it's that place. You can't crank up the power of God. You hang out with Jesus and Jesus starts to move off of you onto others. Jesus is God. He started, he humbled himself to becoming a man, a servant. And he was Jesus of Nazareth. He was always God, okay? He was always God. And then what he did, Jesus of Nazareth, he started to move in the miraculous and preach the kingdom of heaven, demonstrating it. Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. And he overcame, he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Therefore, God has given him a name that is above every name, that every tongue confess and every knee shall bow, that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is now Lord. And he's in the faith realm. He says, get out of the boat, overcome in your micro decisions, tread on the serpent of confusion and be decisive. This is the year he wants to manifest. It's power. It's exciting times. We have a window, but I believe that what we've seen in healing rooms and other modalities of ministry, we're going to see explode. And so God says, I've only got 2 points and then we're going to land the plane. How's everyone going? Good? Amen. Praise God. All right. So I think we're going to see things happen corporately, but don't wait for the corporate, go individual. I don't know. At this stage, I don't know mandates or how they're going to unfold. I don't. So what if you haven't cultivated your time with the Lord? I really rely on church. Don't. If you can't find God in the secret place, you are pulling off of other people's hotspot. Now's the time, like never before. I'll go there in a minute. So we need to cultivate it, each of us individually. Because one day, it doesn't say this in the Bible, is that one day at the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat of Christ, he comes filled with dreams. No, you will go. You won't have your husband, your wife, your kids, significant others. You're going to him because he made you for his good pleasure. And the Lord wants us to cultivate that like never before. Get rid of the confusion, because confusion, the manifestation is double-mindedness or one or the other, what comes first, the chicken or the egg. And so is that we have to just go, Jesus, you sent me here. Like the Blues Brothers, I am on a mission from God. And Jesus, that's pretty much what Jesus said. He says, I must be about my Father's business. And so it starts individually. Here we go. So we're going to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. This is the starting point for the power of God in your life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. He said, I did not see that. Where's Elijah? Where's Moses? Where's Paul in Ephesus? Where's the book of Acts? No, it starts here. You ready? This is the word of the Lord I'm telling you right now. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no such law. Keep that up, please. The beginning of seeing God's power manifest in and through life is having power over yourself, and it starts with self-control. This is the word of the Lord. Don't romanticize it and put it out there and start reading books and get all misty-eyed and it never manifests. The Lord said, if you can take authority over your appetites, your emotions, your up and your, like this, I'll tell you right now, you'll start to move into a place, it's called going further up Zion. Can someone say amen? People go, I don't like that. I don't care. Self-control. We overcome the small things. Don't despise a day of small things. And so you got again, we're going into first world problems here, but it's almost a rite of passage to abuse your stomach over the Christmas break. I get it. You overindulge. You go, one such occasion, I was so full. And I'm like, I can't eat. This is my inner dialogue. I can't eat anymore. And I hear someone go, can we have the dessert menu, please? And I'm like, okay, I'll write that down. And it's like, you regret it. You can't, you want to complain the next morning. You know, men and women are different in this area. Women are over, you know, over Christmas and just too much indulgence. And I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here are my handles. Whereas the men are a bit different. They're like, all bought and paid for. They own it. When they're driving you out of town, march out in front of them to make you look like you're leading them, okay? So, all bought and paid for. And maybe the Lord's calling people to detox in this next season. A partial fast, full fast, I don't know. But we need to see the power of God, and it starts with self-control. Can someone say amen? You know, it's crazy. Self-control is the last one. There's a really, really interesting teaching. It's probably not just a teaching, it's probably true. Is that you've got all the different parts of the body. We're not talking about the fivefold. We're talking about government administration, helps, teachers, miracle workers. You know, it starts with apostles, prophets, and it goes through. And then right at the end, variety of tongues. That's really weird, right tacked on the end. But if you actually give yourself over to praying in the Spirit, it actually powers up all the rest of the functions in the body. If you start to exercise self-control, discipline, and wait on the Lord, it will back engineer into love, joy, peace. When you have that, you know, like that. So when I did psychology, literally, it's a thing called impulse control disorder. It's not a disorder, you're just stupid. I get it. See, what happens is this, you get this impulse, like this. All of a sudden, you know, I've got to look after myself. And all of a sudden, you're in a situation, you hear this, eat the pudding, 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 eat the pudding. All right, okay, and then we'll fast. Okay, and then what happens, and what happens, your life becomes one cycle of last hurrahs, exactly. And so what happens is you actually go, no, I'm going to get into God, and that eat the pudding, eat the pudding, eat the pudding, eat the pudding becomes eat the pudding, eat the pudding, eat the pudding, becomes no, and you're fine. It's overcome. So that's where it starts off. But the second thing, is exercising that self-control. Holy Ghost. And so drunk. Okay, Revelation 12:11. Now some people they get a bit like with this. Don't worry about it. Just. And they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's a judicial reality, but that's your actual overcoming. They did not love their lives to death. Now, what happens is that you're going, the last bit of that verse really wrecks the first part for me. And too many people think that's just purely about let the bodies hit the floor. In this season, I'm telling you right now, there's such a revelation, a quickening about God's tabernacle is with men. The glory of the latter temple be greater than the glory of the former temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know what? You are not your body. Your body is where you live in this world. You need your body. This is why, like Daryl and others, we think there's going to be a quickening of miracles and healing, because we need to see a lot of renovations in people's temples. Seriously, because at the moment that's where the war is. And so here's the deal. Confusion and fear keeps you earthbound. Put the picture back up, please. Keeps you bound. If you are constantly confused and in fear, you cannot ascend. You cannot go into that place. Even during the, we'll just keep that picture up from here on in. We're about to finish. Communion, the blood of Jesus is the pathway. Is the pathway. Now, we've just got to do it God's way. I'm going to make a comparison here. Please take this under advisement. It's prescriptive. Jehovah Nike, just do it. Now, over the break, I was probably nearly every day had communion, and I'm able to walk some things out. Now, I did the whole eat the pudding. I did that. Now, what I was able to compare is this. This is a legitimate statement. Is that there are other seasons where I have really sought the Lord a lot more and consecrated myself a lot more. It's hard to consecrate yourself under the Lord when you're lying around like an anaconda with a capybara in your stomach. Do you know what? Over this break, I was constantly aware of heavenly realities. Constantly, we're not talking like sort of like, I'm going to unsustainable mania. Not like that. Just I'd be driving the car, like I'm going. And the Lord started speaking to me. He said, because you had doing it my way, and that's constant communion. And I found more benefit, and I'm not underselling this as a ruse for doing less. But I found constantly going, I'm going to have communion now. When do you do it? When I think of it. You can't do it when you don't think of it. So you're being led. Procrastination is a devil. It's a devil. Come out, you spirit of procrastination. Oh, can I later? You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to actually go decisive, break confusion. And what happens is this. Communion is a physical action that connects you to a in their reality. You and Christ are one. Those who are once connected to the Lord are one spirit with Him. You're united. If you don't get that, you're trying to get breakthrough. It won't work. You hang out with the breaker of the universe. You hang out with Him through communion constantly. Can someone say amen? To the point whether I had conditioned myself as classical conditioning or I'd burnt the neural pathways, I'd feel that whole, oh, communion. And all of a sudden, I'm just saying, is that I start to lean in to go get it, and I've decided, and then the Lord starts to manifest like I'm going on a mandate. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Someone opens up their heart. If they open up, I'll come in and dine with Him and He with me. This is a year they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives unto death. It's not necessarily about the whole martyrdom. You know, you want to get worried about martyrdom, you look up the word witness, that is martyr. Don't witness. Disobey the Lord. See how that works out. But I'll tell you what right now. The pathway that God is enunciating, which is an ancient pathway, which leads us into the revelation of the new creation, is through the blood of Jesus. And as we combine that, fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost, regular fellowship with the Lord, spirit of self-control that is cultivated, guess what? You're living from that place and you're not caught up in the darkness. It's not what you decree, it's where you decree it from. And I'll tell you what, God's in your micro decisions. Get excited. This is what communion is. This is multifaceted. Is you don't go, okay, we're going to talk about communion. Everyone goes, mental agreement, mental assent. Mm-hmm. John Wesley said, I believe it was John Wesley, he said, Satan has a substitute for faith and it's mental assent. Mental assent. Yep, the teaching of communion. No, do it. You go, but it's the Lord will meet you there. He said, get baptized and have communion often. And then you start to realize you're partaking of your breakthrough. You're partaking of your healing. You're partaking of your provision. You're doing it constantly. Faith without works is dead. I want you to get so excited about the blood of Jesus. Acquire a taste for something better than Grange Hermitage. Acquire a taste for the new wine, the glory of God that sustains you. That stuff's so good, you can have it once and it sustain you running for 40 days. Hallelujah. We need to see God's power demonstrated and manifest this year. Can someone say amen? Self-control opens that pathway to partaking of the blood of Jesus. Grab your communion. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are good. Just spend a moment, just when you once you open it, just spend a moment. We're going to lay hands on some very special people in a moment. But firstly, I just want you to get your eyes completely on the Lord. Now, oh, put the picture back, please. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You know, if you're in Christ and you start off, you know, like driving a car, okay? You drive a car, 10 to 2, blind spot, indicate. I mean, no one ever does it that way. We all drive like it's a forklift. Anyway, what happens is you start cognitively, you burn neural paths, but then all of a sudden, your soul kicks in, your spirit gets involved, it becomes intuitive, it's cultivated. This is cultivated. Then what happens is this, from that place, a superior place that's called in Christ, decree a thing and it shall be established. There's more inspiration than perspiration. The work, which is not, is the worship and hanging out with Him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. He who partakes of drinks my blood, eats my flesh, sorry, other way around. He said, what happens? He abides in me. Where God's calling us to abide, the self-control and the micro decisions, you live from another place. That's how the power of God manifests. It's not an unsustainable mania. God wants you to be best friends with Him in a place of rest to enter into the Lord's day. Can someone say amen? But what you're holding in your hand, His shed blood and His broken body, do it often. Prove it. I am. And then you become aware, you're going, Lord, look, I'm doing my best, but you know what? It's actually not me. You're doing it. It's your grace doing it. You become more aware of His grace. Grace doesn't become a theological ruse for laziness. Glory. I'm going to get that one too. Lord, bless your shed blood and your broken body. I thank you. You're calling people into the now. You're calling people into the now. You're calling people into the now. I just thank you. We just decree that 2022 is a year like no other year. We thank you right now that you've called us in a time when our nation is in the balance. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that your people hold the answer. We thank you for your goodness. Bless this to our body. In Jesus' name, amen. Who had a chance to take communion a bit over the break? Come on. If I become more conscious of Field of Dreams or my ministry over Jesus, I've lost. Taking communion constantly will deliver you from self-consciousness. And you'll find yourself towards the end of the book of Song of Songs. I am my beloved's and His desire is for me. Thank you for those people who've joined us online. So we'll catch you later. We're just going to do some ministry.